Hey everybody, it's Pod Vader here. Coming up on the next Fan Up podcast, you're going to hear this.
You're overlooking Philadelphia's tremendous special teams.
What in the world does this mean?
She's kicked you to the curb, my friend, and she's big on Australians.
Oh, fantastic. Well,
and you're not going to want to miss this.
Don't see Santa in the mall. He doesn't want to see your kid either.
Let's get the show started right now.
Listen.
Hello?
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the super fans.
They are who we thought they were. Oh, we only got two more weeks to go, and then it's time for the games that really count. I am Pod Vader. I am joined by a couple of super fans today, including one who is in a tie for the top spot in our Pigskin Pick'em League, and that is Greg, our Steelers super fan. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Pod. How you doing? I'm ready to continue unleashing some hell here in December.
Ah, yes. An oldie but a goodie that I don't currently have, but I'm still working on. I do have a new one, and I will pose this question to you, Andrew, our Jets super fan.
You like that?
You like that? You like that, Andrew?
I'm sorry. I was just caught off guard by the fact that you open up the show saying, "Oh, a couple of weeks till the games really matter." Typical Patriots fan, right there. Like, yeah, the first 17 weeks don't matter. The game, the first round bye is locked up in week 15. I hear you. So why don't you just take off the next couple of weeks and let me and Greg run the show, Pod?
I'm down with that. I'll take a week off in week 17. I'm good. I will not be taking a week off, ladies and gentlemen. As a matter of fact, I'm doing everything in my power to make sure I don't miss any weeks, including the divisional round where I will be in Florida for a wedding. I'm going to have to finagle some scheduling during that second week of the playoffs. But in any case, you can email us, nextfanup@gmail.com. That's the way that you become a super fan. Or if you have any questions, or if you disagree with anything that we have to say here, because I know you do. So email us, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can tweet us at NFU Podcast. Our Dolphin superfan Ron is at the helm. Although I don't know, I haven't heard a lot from Ron in the last few weeks. So hoping that Ron's still doing okay, despite his team not doing all that great. And of course, you can check out all the written previews on our Facebook page. Just go to the search bar, type in Next Fan Up, or if you want to go there directly right now, it's facebook.com/NextFanUp. As we've been doing, let's take a look at the playoff standings. And the Patriots are the current number one seed in the AFC, and they have clinched a first round bye. Now it's all about home field throughout. And I believe if they win this week against the Patriots, they will, in fact, clinch that, making week 17 completely irrelevant for Patriot fans. The Bengals and Broncos are the 2 and 3 seed. The Broncos losing last week, though, desperately need to beat the Bengals on Monday Night Football. And we'll talk to English Simon later on in this show about the Bengals' chances on Monday night and in the playoffs with or without Andy Dalton. The Texans came up big with Brandon Weeden last week and have taken the fourth seed as the AFC South champion. Of course, they will still have to battle that out with the Indianapolis Colts, who are not out of it yet, but are a game behind. The Chiefs, Steelers, and Jets are all tied at 9-5, but the Jets are on the outside looking in for that last wild card spot due to tiebreakers. And so Andrew will talk about how important this game against the Patriots is for the New York Jets. Everyone else is eliminated in the AFC. Now to the NFC. The Carolina Panthers have had first round and home field wrapped up for a couple of weeks now. They remain undefeated. And really the question in Carolina is, do they go for 16-0? Or do they rest up and make sure everyone stays healthy? We will talk about that when we talk about the Carolina Panthers game this week. The Cardinals are facing the Green Bay Packers. It's been a weird scheduling sort of coincidence that the number 2 and 3 seeds in both conferences end up facing each other this week. The Cardinals are 12-2. They've clinched the first round bye. So there's really no seeding to play for in this particular matchup. Just going to be a good game between two playoff teams who may or may not see each other again when the games really matter. The Redskins are now the fourth seed as the NFC least champs, and they will clinch that spot after Saturday. We will have the superfan battle between Sitko, our Eagles superfan, and our newest superfan representing the Washington Redskins, that being Neil Stevenson, who wrote in to nextfanup@gmail.com. That's how he became the Redskins superfan. The wild cards are the Seahawks and the Vikings. The Falcons are the lone team on the outside looking in, two games behind, much like an ex. The Falcons went through the grieving process and got themselves destroyed the first week of the breakup. In the second week after the breakup, they go and they pull off a win they had no business doing. And now it's one of those points where I, as the ex-boyfriend, am looking on going, oh, maybe we should get back together. That would just be a bad idea, I think. So there's your playoff picture, ladies and gentlemen. Anything you want to add there, Andrew?
No, not really. It's sort of more than most years. It seems to be like the playoff picture is sort of rather simple, especially in the NFC, where it seems like both wild cards are locked in. That the only thing in question is really the NFC East. And in the AFC, there are four teams vying for two spots, right? Or it depends on the division, Kansas City, Denver. But one of Kansas City, Denver, the Steelers, and the Jets aren't going to make the playoffs. So it's four teams vying for three spots. But it seems to be like it's not that confusing this year in that you don't really need to open up your playoff machine tabs and mess around because it's rather simple.
Greg, your thoughts on the playoff picture?
Well, I was reading earlier this week on Pro Football Talk that all 12 teams after this weekend, all 12 playoff teams could be determined. Maybe there's some seeding that still has to be worked out. But I haven't remembered a year like this where it was so cut and dry in a long time. And in that scenario, I need the Jets to lose for that to happen. So, precursor.
Andrew, it seems like the deck has been stacked against you in terms of people trying to cheer on your team.
It's fine. I mean, I'm used to it, especially since Rex was the coach. It seems like we sort of drove everyone away from our side of the table. So we're sort of used to the haters, I guess you would say. I mean, it's different from the Patriots in that they're jealous of the Patriots because the Patriots always win, as in the Jets just couldn't shut up when they were winning nothing. So I guess it's warranted.
Here comes your NFL draft picture.
With the first pick in the NFL draft,
the Tennessee Titans will be selecting, followed by the Cleveland Browns. Both those teams are 3-11. I have a feeling this order is definitely going to change by the time we get to the end of 17 weeks. Also in the mix, in the hunt, if you will, there are 1, 2, 3, 4 teams tied at 4-10. They start with the Dallas Cowboys, then the San Francisco 49ers, the San Diego Chargers, or shall I call them the Los Angeles Chargers of San Diego. They're up next. And then the Baltimore Ravens follow in that order. A bunch of teams at 5-9. And then we've got even more teams at 6-8. It's really a pathetic showing here in the NFL. It's how many teams are below 500. But actually, I believe in all honesty, I believe that this is exactly the vision I think Paul Tagliabue once had when he was talking about parity in the NFL. What do you think about that, Andrew?
Honestly, this year is one of the most top heavy years in a long time. It seems to be that there really are no sleeper teams, in that there's really no team that came out of nowhere to like be in the playoff picture. I mean, I guess people would say the Jets, but I was sort of more optimistic than most on the Jets this year. It seems like there are a lot of teams that really missed out on whether it be coaching or injuries There were a lot of teams that missed out on a potential opportunity to really make some noise this year. I look at a team like Buffalo. Buffalo's a team I look at for sure that should have made a run but didn't. Baltimore with all their injuries. Atlanta starting 5-0 and not being able to capitalize on that. And also St. Louis. St. Louis started off 4-3. They got even decent quarterback play. Maybe they're in the playoff picture right now.
Yeah, I would look at the Minnesota Vikings as perhaps a surprise team. I know other people were higher on the Vikings than I were, but I don't think anyone really saw the Vikings as being true playoff contenders. Perhaps, you know, a team that could make the playoffs, but not really make a lot of noise. I think you look at the Vikings and they could make some noise once the tournament begins. And so I would label them as a surprise. I think obviously the NFC least, the Washington Redskins would be the last team out of those four that I would have picked to win that division. But again, I don't think you could go into a season and predict that Tony Romo was going to miss, you know, a majority of the season, putting the Cowboys at the bottom of that. And then when you talk about missed opportunities, I agree with you on the Falcons. I think the Texans being in the playoffs is sort of advantageous for them that Andrew Luck went down when he did. You know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers being a little bit more of a surprise, playing a little bit better than I think most people anticipated this year as another team. The Eagles would be a disappointment, I think, many people had the Eagles, you know, really dominating the NFC, and that certainly is not the case. All right, so let's kick it off with our picks. Oh, go ahead, Greg.
One thing I'd like to point out, and also, how great would it be if Dallas was able to get the first overall pick? I mean, the offseason would be crazy. It would be constantly, is Romo going to be forced into retirement, or what's Jerry going to do? You know, it would just be just too good for, like, Ed Warner every day at the Happy Valley Ranch or whatever that is. So,
I bet if the Cowboys have the number one pick, they trade it.
I wouldn't see them taking a quarterback number one overall, especially like right now. It doesn't seem like there is a quarterback really worthy of that pick. Maybe they go with another pass rusher, even though that's probably their deepest position. But yeah, trading is probably the best option for them. But I find it hard to see Jerry Jones actually doing that. It doesn't seem like a move that he would make.
So on Christmas Eve, we'll have the Los Angeles Chargers of San Diego at the Oakland Raiders, who could also be the Los Angeles Raiders of Oakland. So we have two Los Angeles bound teams perhaps facing off here, and it'll be, is this the last home game for the Raiders? So this could be Charles Woodson's last home game in Oakland. The Raiders right now favored by 5.5. They are the home team. I know San Diego seems to have, you know, picked up their stuff and they're ready to go home, but I'm not sure about this one. Go ahead, Greg. What do you think?
Well, I think Akil or whatever his name is, Mac, is a beast right now. And for that simple reason, I'm going to take the Raiders at home.
Well, so when it comes to this game, yeah, it's going to be Charles Woodson's last home game as an Oakland Raider. He announced his retirement to his Hall of Fame career, like first ballot Hall of Fame career, a lot would argue. So much like San Diego had last week in their win against Miami, there's sort of an emotional edge that they have going on there. And to me, they don't even need that emotional edge because their roster is by far the better roster of the two, which is not a thing I thought I would be saying coming into this year. But Derek Carr stepped up big time, and the Raiders' offensive line has become one of the best in football. But the matchup that I would watch this week would be the Derek Carr and his receivers versus San Diego's pass defense. Because San Diego actually has a pretty good pass defense with Jason Verrett and Eric Weddle playing well this year. So if you're going to watch this game on Christmas Eve, then go ahead. I mean, I guess that's the thing you'll be looking for. But give me the Raiders. They're just a better team.
I'm going to take the Raiders to win, but not cover 5.5. By the way, for those of you keeping track, my picks against the spread have been very good. My locks of the week have sucked tremendously. They have been less than diddly poo. So take everything I say when it comes to picking these games with a grain of salt. But I like the fact that the up and coming Raiders are up and coming. I like the fact that they are having their last game at home. And I like the fact that both these teams could be facing off in a shared stadium in Los Angeles in the coming years. Next, we move to Saturday, where we have the Redskins and the Eagles. And our super fans, Sitko and Neil, recorded a super fan battle for you. So let's take a listen right now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Next Fan Up, and we are in a super battle between two of our super fans. I am one of those super fans. I am the Eagles super fan, Mark Sitko. I also have with us tonight a new super fan, our new Redskins super fan, Neil. He is from Scotland. He is calling all the way from across the ocean to be a part of this. How are you doing, Neil?
I'm doing great. As you know, we've had a little bit of problems getting connected, but fantastic to be on the show and... yeah, enjoying it. Fantastic.
Wonderful. It's great to have you, man.
Yep. As you say, I'm Neil Stevenson. I'm the Washington super fan, and I've been following the Redskins for, well, since we got thrashed by the Raiders way back when in the Super Bowl. And it's been up and down and mainly down ever since.
That is great. Well, right now you guys have a great quarterback, which I think is a major difference from the teams in the past. As you have Cousins coming together and this team is really looking formidable, I think you guys look like the best team in the NFC East right now. How are you feeling about this game? What do you think the keys to the win will be?
Well, I think you're right. I think we're very happy with Cousins. He seems to be incrementally developing, getting better over the course of the season. And that's been, well, for a team who hasn't had a quarterback since before I was born, probably, it is tremendous. I think the key for the Redskins is the same every single week. We have to try and establish a run game, even if it's just 2 or 3 yards a pop. Try and establish a run game, get into the lead, and if we can get into the lead, we can probably hold on and win a game. But you know, this game for me, it's all about home field advantage. I think when you look at all the stats, you can go from quarterback rating right the way through to points scored to defensive rankings. We're so close together, so close, that it's going to come down to the home field advantage. And we'll have to see what we can do about reversing maybe a 3-point win for you guys. But there are various players that I think can do well for us against you. I think Jordan Reed is going to be a difficult one for you to cover. I think you have got injuries of your inside linebackers. Do you have the safeties who can cover Jordan Reed? I'm not sure.
No, I totally agree. Jordan Reed is the player that scares me the most on your team. I mean, I have respect for Cousins, but I think Jordan Reed is a fantastic tight end, and I think he plays very, very well for you. We are missing one of our inside linebackers, but the rookie Hicks, Jordan Hicks. Yeah. But I think that he was more of a run stopper. We do have our two that should be good at covering passes, but they haven't been doing well this year, and that is Michael Kendricks and Kiko Alonso. They should be able to do that, but I think that you're right. They have not been playing up to their potential, and I think that's going to show in this game. Cousins really beat us last game. Last time we played you, Cousins put together a fourth quarter drive to beat us. You've already got the one game advantage over us, and if we lose this game, we're completely out of the playoffs. So it's a big game. I think we have a chance. We'll see. It's hard coming off of getting destroyed by the Cardinals to have any confidence, but I don't think the Redskins are the Cardinals. Obviously, it's a whole different team. So we'll see how it goes. Here in the NFC East, all of us are so, you know, we all have holes. I think you bring up a great point that if you guys can get out ahead, you're going to be in a good shape. Because if you fall behind, I don't know, as we talk about Cousins getting better each week, I haven't seen yet that he can really do a comeback. I saw the fourth quarter drive when you're only down by one score, but if you get down by two scores, I'm not sure Cousins is going to be able to bring it back. My big question for you to start, I'm feeling confident, but running game, same with you. Our running game is not what it should be, and our passing game is decent. We have a decent tight end, and we have Jordan Matthews, one receiver that I really like, but our receivers drop a lot of balls, and a lot of them are not playing to the potential we need. We very much miss Macklin, who is off now in Kansas City, and without him, we do not have a great wide receiver. I'd love to ask you about DeSean Jackson. You do have one of our old wide receivers. We don't miss him much in Philly, really, because we're a running game a team now, and Chip wants to run the ball more than anything, and I don't think DeSean is really wonderful on the outside blocking. Even small cornerbacks are able to get off of blocks with him and make tackles. But how do you like DeSean? How has he played for you this year?
He was injured for a large chunk of the early part of the season, but I can give you a stat which tells you how important he is for Kirk Cousins. Since Jackson's come back from injury, Cousins has gone 152 for 214. 71% completion percentage.
Wow.
For 1,888 yards, 13 touchdowns, and only 3 interceptions. And I think what he does for us is he gets down the field, basically stands in line of scrimmage, and he just run away from us. He runs down the field, stays out of trouble, opens up in the middle of the field, and you'll notice that, you know, Crowder, a rookie wide receiver, I think he's just got 50 receptions this year. And Jordan Reed's well into the 70s of receptions. And Cousins can just dink and dunk his way down the field. Cousins' deep ball to Jackson's gotten better as the season's gone on. They seem to have the rapport is better. And that's been a really good thing. As you'll know, he's caught the occasional long bomb like he did against Buffalo at the weekend. So, yeah, he's important to us. But what's more important is the space he's creating for us across the middle of the field. Even Garcon's getting his catches.
Yeah, that's what's great about DeSean. I'm a big Madden player. They tease me on the podcast a lot that I play Madden so much, and I look to it for advice. But DeSean was amazing for exactly like you're describing him, stretching the field, and if you don't cover him properly, you can always go over the top to him, yeah. Which is really, really powerful. Yeah. I have some questions about your defense. Tell me about how you're feeling about the defense.
Is it possible I could ask you a question first while we're on?
Of course. Go for it, Neil. Yeah.
I guess when I was thinking about this today, I was thinking, what is it that Philadelphia does well? Who is Philadelphia?
On offense, I would. It's really crosser routes. You're going to see we are really good against man, in the sense that we will have a lot of rub routes and a lot of crosses over the middle, hoping to get Jordan Matthews open or Ertz, and that is really what we try to do. We also try to get the ball to some of our guys in space, people like Sproles and Huff. To try to get them to get, you know, rack yards. It's not my favorite style of offense. As I was watching the Cardinals last week, I'm like, man, I wish we had this over-the-top, taking shots kind of offense, but we don't. We don't have a receiver to do that. So it's a lot of what I think of it as similar to is trying to be like the Patriots in a way that we play almost like dink and dunk style, looking for a player to get the ball and then break a tackle and get downfield, as Ertz did a couple weeks ago to win the game against Buffalo. So I think that's really how I would describe the offense. Our running game has been horrible. Our two guards are not professional guards. They're not on the level of the NFL you should be. And maybe they will get there, but this year they're not ready. So our offensive line is really not looking like it's been stronger in the past. It's never been a powerhouse like Dallas, but it's been better than it is now, and it's really, you know, falling back a bit. DeMarco Murray is almost totally worthless. He had 2 carries this weekend. I think he's basically been pulled out of the rotation. Matthews was running better but had a costly fumble this game. So our running game is supposed to be the focus. I think the idea is get the run going, cause a lot of sweeps so that the entire defense has to keep running, and then we wear them down. And then with our superior conditioning, which we do have, our guys are very well conditioned, the idea is that we will be able to get you on crossers and start breaking things open. I feel that the style we play is very fast. It always starts slow, but if we wear down the defense and we stay on the field enough, by the third and fourth quarter, we're able to, you know, make people look silly. But yeah, that would be my basics of defining it. But to be perfectly honest, the offense is anemic. It is the major problem with the team right now. The defense, strangely, is playing better than the offense, even though we have Chip Kelly. Our special teams is another great side. We have a very good special teams unit. They've kept us in games. They beat the Patriots for us. You know, that's awesome. But obviously, as many people in the Superfan world will point out, that is not enough. You can't rely on that third of the game to win every week. But it does win a couple games for us a year. We'll see what they do to fix the offense. I would love another receiver or two, and we really need to fix that offensive line. But getting to that defense. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, just wonder two things. First of all, Darren Sproles just scares the crap out of me. Because he's the sort of player who, you know, throw a few screen passes and you could win the game by doing that against us. The other thing is, how is your first round receiver getting on?
That's really funny you're saying that. Aguilar is doing all right. He plays a lot of snaps, but he doesn't seem to get a lot of targets. So I don't know if it's that he's not getting open or the plays aren't designed to go to him, but he's dropped the ball too much for my taste. When he does catch the ball, he's great. And he did have a really nice long pass for his first touchdown a couple weeks back. But he's been not disappointing. He's been a rookie. I think he will be much better in the future. But if I were you, he's not someone I would be very afraid of this weekend.
I think we've been spoiled over the last couple of years with these rookie receivers. So maybe it's absolutely fine with him.
I feel the same way. Jordan Matthews had 800 yards last year from the slot and was doing really well. But it's easy to do that when you have Macklin and they're focused on Macklin. Now, without anybody to focus on, they can really take Jordan out and then they can easily cover these rookies.
Yeah. I think the matchup between Matthews and Breland is going to be one of the keys on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. Matthews is by far our best offensive weapon. Well, Ertz is pretty good, too, but both of them dropped the ball a little too much for me. I love Matthews. I was a little frustrated with him in this last game. He caught a late touchdown and was acting like he was celebrating a little too much for my taste. I didn't think he was strong. He had a good enough game for him to be celebrating when we're getting our butts kicked, but he was. tell me a little bit about your defense. I don't know a whole lot about them. They get a bad reputation, especially that secondary. Do you have players that you would say we should be watching out for on the defense?
Well, first thing I would say is, I don't know over in America if you have duct tape. Do you have duct tape?
We do have duct tape, totally.
Yeah,
well, gray tape, defense, totally.
Yeah, gray, sort of very strong tape. Our defense is held together with duct tape at the moment.
great, totally.
We're missing a whole load of starters. I think we lost our high character outside linebacker Gallette at the start of the season. In camp, but we've lost Hall for quite a bit of time. He's back now, but moved to safety instead of corner. We've got Will Blackman, who came in midway through the season, starting at one corner because we lost Culliver. Breland is playing terrifically well in the other corner. Possibly even a very small Pro Bowl shout. But we also lost both inside linebackers to injury. And so we've got a couple of guys, Mason Foster and Will Compton, who've come in, done really well. I would say the defense is better now than it was when we played you last time, but we are sorely missing a pass rush. I mean, we'll take Fletcher Cox off your hands anytime you like.
No, he's by far my favorite defensive player. Yeah, I'm a defense guy more than offense, and I love Fletcher Cox. Our defense is not really strong. We have a lot of holes. The inside linebackers just haven't been playing great this year, even though we have a lot of talent there. The outside pass rush is not getting there like it did last year. Barwin doesn't have nearly the sacks he did. And Graham is playing decent for his first year as a starter, but he's nothing to be afraid of. On the backside, our safeties are decent. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, didn't you have a couple of high picks? Didn't you have a Guy Smith and also, was it Graham? A couple of linebackers?
Yes.
We
had no. Marcus Smith, we picked up last year, was our first-round pick, and he's really not playing well. I don't know if he will ever pan out. We'll see, but he just doesn't really get on the field much. And then we had Rowe is our second-round pick, and he's playing corner for us. You probably will see him in this game. He's decent, but he's, once again, a rookie. I think especially at cornerback, rookies have trouble. There's a big difference between covering good wide receivers in college and then covering a good wide receiver in the NFL. So I think that that's a place you could take advantage. I could see Deshaun making Rowe look silly. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. I think we have to jump all the way to scores already. What is your prediction? What do you think, Neil? How is this game going to turn out?
Well, I have to go with Philadelphia. I think the last three times we've played, the difference between the sides has been 3 points each time. I think home field advantage will get you that, and I'm going to say all the way to overtime, 23-20 to Philadelphia.
Wow, I appreciate you giving it to us. Thank you, Neil. I am less confident, but I'm also going to go with the Eagles just really because I'm a homer. Your score sounds really good. I'll say 24-17 to keep it in that same ballpark. I think that's very reasonable. I would love to win, but I have to tell you, I don't feel extremely confident. The big thing I see the advantage we have is that your defense may allow us to put some points up, and that would be the one place that I think we could get there. But if you can slow us down and we can't get our run going, we're both in the same boat. If we can't get the run going, it's not going to go well. But this was great, Neil. Welcome to the team. We're stoked to have you.
Can I add one more?
Oh, go ahead.
Can I add one more?
Of course.
Just to say that, just to say that this game is exclusively live across the United Kingdom on Saturday night, Sunday morning. So you might have some new Philadelphia fans come Sunday morning.
All right, so that was Sicko and Neil. I see the Redskins are underdogs by 2.5. I like the Redskins here. I think the Eagles are going to give it a shot. I just think the Redskins, as weird as that might be, as weird as this is going to sound coming out of my mouth, I think the Redskins are the better team here, Andrew.
Who knows, honestly, with these teams? Because, the Redskins are playing better football right now, but would it really shock you if the Eagles come out and win this game and Kirk Cousins, as well as he's played the last couple of weeks, like he has 13 touchdowns, 3 interceptions in the last 4 weeks, as well as he's played, like it wouldn't shock me to come out and see him lay an egg on the road. He hasn't historically played much better at home than he has on the road. And I just don't think the Redskins are that good a team. I just think they're just average enough in this NFC East to win the division. I don't really feel strongly either way, but I think the best unit on the field in this game has been Washington's offense. So give me the Redskins. Don't feel too confident about it, but I say they wrap it up this week.
You're overlooking Philadelphia's tremendous special teams, but I'm going to go with the Redskins this week. I think Kirk Cousins is a pretty limited quarterback, but the thing I think he's doing great right now is I think he has the entire team buying in that he can win games and that he is, quote unquote, I'm going to use it, the winner or a winner. And I think that goes far in December. So since the Eagles don't have an answer other than their phenomenal special teams, I'm going to go with the Redskins.
Excellent callback, Greg. Excellent callback. Let's move now to the Sunday games. We begin at 1 o'clock because why would we begin at 4 o'clock? That would be foolish. We have the Carolina Panthers at the Atlanta Falcons. The Panthers are favored by 7.5 points, at least by the number that I'm looking at. I have not looked at Number Fire yet. I'm going to go with the Panthers here. I'm not getting back together with the Falcons as much as I teased that at the beginning of the show. I'm done with the Falcons. We had a good run there for a while. I'm done with you. We're done. Panthers, 15-0. And then the question becomes, do you rest the starters in week 16? Greg?
I'm going to go with the Panthers too. I've picked against them like 7 times this year and they keep burning me, so yeah, I'm doing this just to be chalk. So, Panthers.
Andrew?
The last time these two teams played was rather recently, 2 weeks ago, in Carolina. Atlanta didn't even put up a point. Carolina won 38-0. This game's going to be rather similar, but the thing that's interesting to me is that you look at the Falcons and they're at 7-7. That's sort of where you thought they would be at the beginning of the year. I mean, at least that's where I thought. I mean, I know, Pod, you thought they were going 13-3 and meeting your Patriots in the Super Bowl. But they're sort of where a lot of people expected them to be. It's just the fact that they started 5-0 that makes people call for, like, Dan Quinn's job and, like, oh, something's wrong there. But it sort of seems that they're playing to their talent level. The one thing I'd be worried about is that Matt Ryan hasn't really looked like himself this year. So maybe that's the issue. But as for this game, Carolina all day. Atlanta to me is one of the softest teams in the league, and I think Carolina is going to run all over them this week, even without Jonathan Stewart.
By the way, Number Fire has a 53.7% likelihood Atlanta plus +7. That makes me feel all that much better about my Carolina pick. So I'm very happy about that. next game on the docket, we have the Dallas Cowboys at the Buffalo Bills. The number I'm playing with is 5.5. The Bills minus 5.5. And I don't think Rex Ryan will have trouble covering that number up in Buffalo, unless the weather is for a frightful December, which I don't believe it is. I think Buffalo is going through the same heat wave we're going through here in Connecticut, which has been outrageous. Talking about 60 degrees on Christmas Day. That is, I don't know when that ever happened. I don't believe it has ever happened. It's called a record for a reason. But we're not here to talk about the weather. We're talking about football. I like the Bills against the Dallas Cowboys. Andrew?
Yeah. I mean, I'd sort of rather talk about the weather than talk about this game. But with these two teams, you said the line is 5.5. I'd be pounding Buffalo in this game. As much as all the bad stories have come out about how there's dysfunction in the Bills locker room, the defensive players aren't happy with Rex Ryan's scheme, which is a really interesting subplot, because that is one of that's not what people thought the issue would be in Buffalo this year. People thought the quarterback play and the offense would be the issue, but Tyrod Taylor has had a pretty good year, and probably better than anyone would have expected Buffalo would get from their quarterback position. But the bottom line is that this is Kellen Moore playing quarterback against Rex Ryan in Buffalo. And I'd be shocked if there aren't at least 2-3 interceptions by Buffalo in this game. The Jets picked off Moore three times last week in about 2.5 quarters. I think Buffalo is going to be able to take advantage of that, maybe gain some optimism going into their the Week 17 matchup against the Jets.
Greg?
Buffalo at home, and it also plays into the Cowboys having the first overall pick, so this sounds like a winner to me. So Buffalo.
All righty. Next up is the Bears at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The number I have is 2.5. The number Fire has is 3, and Number Fire loves Tampa Bay minus 3, 54.4%. I unfortunately have to agree with Number Fire, which always makes me feel uncomfortable. But I'm going to take the Buccaneers here at home and feel pretty comfortable about it, Greg.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to watching this game a little bit. Tampa Bay, I want to see Winston again. I really like how he plays, and I just want to see as much of him as I can. So I'll go with the Bucs at home, too.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Buccaneers, too. This isn't a game I feel so strongly about either, but Tampa Bay, it seems to be, has issues with teams that rush the passer well. And Chicago hasn't been able to really do that with Pernell McPhee being out the past couple of weeks. It doesn't seem like he's going to play this week. And, yeah, Tampa Bay is going to have the best players on the field most of the time. I mean, it's sort of funny, like, being able to see Jameis and Mike Evans versus Jay Cutler and Alshon Jeffrey. It seems like a very similar quarterback-wide receiver duo right there. But give me Tampa Bay. I just think they have the better roster. Doug Martin looked great against a pretty good St. Louis run defense last week. Maybe he does it again. Give me the Buccaneers by, 7-10 points.
All righty. Next up, the Kansas City Chiefs are hosting the Cleveland Browns. The number is minus 12.5. Man, Alex Smith, can he cover 12.5 points? I don't know. He's a little conservative on that end. I'm going to take the Chiefs. I haven't decided yet on the number. What do you think, Andrew?
So Kansas City's won, 8 in a row? So people are really high on this team right now. But you look at last week's game. They beat Baltimore 34-14. But that score doesn't really indicate how close that game actually was. You talk about, oh, can Alex Smith cover 12.5? That's not really the question. The question should be, can Kansas City turn over Johnny Manziel twice like they did to Jimmy Clausen last week, and they had two defensive touchdowns? If they do, yeah, you're very rarely going to lose a game where you have two defensive touchdowns. But this Kansas City defense takes risks. Like, Marcus Peters does have 7 interceptions on the year, and he had 2 last year, and that's why he made the Pro Bowl. But he's also given up 7 touchdowns, and he has allowed the most yardage of any cornerback in the league this year. So there are holes on this defense for Cleveland to exploit. I actually think this game's going to be rather close, like closer than what people think it's going to be. But Kansas City is going to win. Hopefully not as a Jets fan, but I can't pick the 3-11 team against a Kansas City team at home who needs to win in order to make the playoffs. So give me the Chiefs by like 3 points.
I'm glad you brought all of that up, Andrew, because I've changed. I'm definitely now taking the Browns with the number, but I'm taking the Chiefs to win. And here's why. In the past 7, Johnny Manziel has completed almost 62% of his passes, 6 touchdowns, only 3 picks. So getting multiple picks off of Johnny Manziel may not be as easy as one might think. I'd also add Alex Smith, because I said, can Alex Smith cover a 12.5 point spread? He's 2-0 versus the Browns, which is great, but that 2-0 comes with only 402 yards and 3 touchdowns. So only 200 yards of offense if you average it, and 1.5 touchdowns. I like the Chiefs, but now I'm going to agree with you, Andrew. I don't think the Chiefs are covering 12.5. Greg, go ahead.
Give me the points. Give me Kansas City. The Browns cannot stop the run. The Browns are just awful. I wish they would win this game because I would help out, and I don't want to see Cleveland with the first overall pick, because here in Cleveland, they will kill the team for months. So, I mean, I don't see how Kansas City doesn't score 40. I really don't. I mean, Johnny, I've watched the last couple of games with Johnny. He's getting away with stuff. So, yeah, I take the points.
All right, next on our docket, we have the San Francisco 49ers at the Detroit Lions. The Lions favored by 8.5. Again, what is Vegas watching? I got to do a little bit more reading, and thus, Greg, I'll throw it to you.
Yeah, I don't know what Vegas is talking about. I'm going to go with the Lions here. San Francisco on the road, that's a tough one for them. They don't play as well on the road. And, yeah.
I mean, when you say, oh, I don't know what Vegas is talking about, it probably means that they do know what they're talking about. Because San Francisco is one of the worst teams in football. And Detroit has actually looked pretty decent past couple of weeks, especially with Jim Bob Cooter, the new offensive coordinator in Detroit, has really opened up Matthew Stafford's game. And this is without Calvin Johnson producing the past couple of weeks. He has combined like 6 fantasy points the last 2 weeks, Calvin Johnson does. And yet they're still putting up 40 points plus in the past couple of weeks. And that there's no way Blaine Gabbert's going to be able to keep up with that, especially on a 1 p.m. game on an East Coast trip. Give me Detroit by 2 touchdowns.
Number Fire loves San Francisco plus 9 at 60.4% likelihood. I am now with you guys. I'm going to take the Lions to cover 8.5. I was taking the Lions, but I didn't know about 8.5. Now I know about 8.5. The Texans are at the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans will be without Marcus Mariota, so we're looking at a game with Zach Mettenberger at quarterback. I don't think that's a downgrade, but it's not an upgrade. And I think the Texans have caught fire here at the right time. And I'm going to take the Texans to beat the just not ready quite yet Tennessee Titans. Andrew?
Yeah. The past couple of weeks against the Jets and the Patriots, the Titans have really looked like one of the worst teams in football. And now, their one exciting guy who isn't Delanie Walker, Marcus Mariota, is unlikely to play in this game. Yeah, Mettenberger has looked decent, but he doesn't bring the same dimension with his legs that Mariota does. And I think with J.J. Watt rushing the passer, that's going to be an issue. So give me the Texans, especially because they need to win this game. If they win this game, they're pretty much the AFC South champions. I don't really know the scenario, but with Indianapolis at 6-8 and with Jacksonville at 5-9, it seems to be if Houston wins this game, it's over.
Yes, it will be. Yes, you're right. If the Colts, if the Texans win, I believe they will have clinched the division. You're correct. Greg?
Well, who's playing quarterback for the Texans now? I mean, I know TJ Yates tore his ACL or something, and Brian Hoyer is still under the concussion protocol. So I think they have Brandon Whedon playing quarterback for them, which terrifies me in this game, but not enough not to pick them to win. Just wanted to point that out, that the Texans are pretty much getting handicapped with their quarterback.
Yeah, that's a good point, but expect to see a lot of a wildcat with Cecil Shorts in the backfield, maybe even. And they're gonna struggle to win this game. I actually think it will be a little closer, especially because I don't see Brandon Whedon blowing anybody out. But Houston just has the better unit on defense. They got the best unit in this game, and it's not even close. So, give me Houston.
Just to confirm, Houston does in fact clinch the AFC South with a victory. So there you have it. Up next, speaking of the AFC South, we have the Colts. They are at the Miami Dolphins. For some reason, the Dolphins are favored by 2.5 in this game. I don't know why. I thought the Dolphins were going to come out and win last week, and they laid a giant, enormous egg. I just don't see the Dolphins having what it takes to win another game this year. I'm going to take the Colts, and I'm going to feel pretty comfortable about that. Greg?
That's funny.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, it's funny. I mean, because I just really disagree with you. I think Miami is actually going to win this game rather easily. I think the Colts are done, especially with either Matt Hasselbeck or Charlie Whitehurst, whoever's playing quarterback there. So the receivers are coming out and complaining about how they're not throwing the ball down the field. I mean, I think this game is ripe for Ndamukong Suh and Olivier Vernon just to eat up that Indianapolis offensive line. Miami, I mean, as poorly as they played last week, they did put up a fight on Monday night against the Giants. It seems like the players actually like Dan Campbell, and they try to play for him. It's give me the Dolphins, and I actually think that it's going to be about 10 to 14 points. I like Miami in this game a lot.
See, I kind of agree with you, Andrew, but both these teams have given up on the season. I mean, the effort the Dolphins put in last weekend against the Chargers was just atrocious. And the Colts, I just can't believe that the Colts are as bad as they are. But, I mean, they have done nothing to prove otherwise. So I'm going to go with Indy just because I like their uniform better, and it's a crapshoot.
So I will I'll turn to ESPN stats and info, and the Dolphins have scored just 1.5 points per drive on offense, which ranks 28th in the league. They're 24th in points allowed per drive on defense. The Colts are 23rd in per drive defense. So they are obviously not that good either. But what I will say is last week I said it was Dan Campbell that was going to make sure that Miami won their game last week. That clearly didn't happen. And the Colts still have a little something to play for because they won't know the results of that Texans game until obviously after their game is over as well. They're playing at the same time. So I think because of that, the Colts will have a little bit of that extra effort and will go out and try and win this game, even though we've already predicted it's useless, as we all see the Texans winning against the Titans. That's sort of where I see it. I don't necessarily see the Colts as a better team than the Dolphins, but I see both those teams sort of on the downswing. I really think the Dolphins are really on the downswing. Oh, look, it's time for the Patriots and the Jets. We recorded a super fan battle about that. Let's take a listen.
Super fan.
It's the Jets. It's the Patriots. Of course, we had to have this mega super fan battle between Andrew, whom you've heard almost every week here on the preview shows, who represents the Jets, and Patrick. We all know Patrick. He's the Pats fan, and he's also with his daughter at the mall about to meet Santa Claus. This is a huge moment in your daughter's life, Patrick. I can't believe you took time to actually talk football with us.
Well, that's okay. It's going to be a long walk followed by a long wait. So I have 10 minutes to talk about the Jets, which is also about as much time as they have to think they're making the playoffs.
Andrew, I allow you to retort.
I mean, it's fine. It's fine that he's so confident. It actually makes me a little more confident because this Jets-Patriot game, I mean, it shouldn't be any that much different from the one we played earlier this year, and that was a very, very close game, and the Patriots aren't even as healthy as they were in that game, so.
All of that is true. All of that is true, but, I mean, the difference is, like, you very well could be playing Jimmy Garoppolo at some point in this game, and, I'm still not going to be overly concerned. You could win. You could win 72-0, and it's not going to change the fact that we're going to the playoffs.
Right, but I was actually wondering this because it seems to be everyone saying that if the one team the Patriots should be scared of the most in the playoffs is a Pittsburgh team, is the Steelers. But if you look at the history of the Patriots the last couple of years, it seems like the Chiefs have given them issues, and the Jets are always a tough game. So if you were to look at those three teams in a potential playoff game, how would you rank them in terms of, oh, I this is a team I would. Of course, you're a Patriot, so you're a Patriots fan, so you're never sort of wary of a team because you guys are way too overconfident every single time. But like,
well, and we do tend to beat all of those teams, right? So we can say which one will be the most narrow victory. but if we're even looking at recent history, then I mean I'm not overly concerned. Now, if it's a playoff game, then I'd probably say at this point I'm most concerned about the Steelers. And I'd put the Jets at number two in that, but I mean, this is a regular season game. And I know it's a playoff game for the Jets, but for the Patriots it's a tune-up game.
Andrew, I'll give you the reasonable fan perspective on that, and that would be honestly, the Chiefs, because they haven't seen them yet this season. Patriots played the Steelers, beat them. Now, they beat them without a Martavius Bryant, and that's definitely a different aspect that the Patriots secondary would have to overcome. And so that's a little bit scary. I'm honestly not that worried about your Jets, and that's just because no matter how close these games are with the Jets, they're always close, but the Patriots always find that extra way to win. I mean, they've won 9 of the past 10. So it was like the Yankees and the Red Sox rivalry all those years when the Yankees just kept winning. No matter how much the Red Sox wanted to believe it was a rivalry, Yankees won. No matter how much we want to believe the Jets and the Patriots are a rivalry, Patriots always seem to find a way to win.
Well,
I mean, the Jets won like that one game in, what was it, 2009, Andrew?
2010, and which is why...
2010, right. That's right.
2010. The highlight of my Jets fandom that game, which says a lot, but
like 5 years ago.
Yeah, my point would be is that this Jets team is the best Jets team since that year, and that they have a very similar structure on their roster as they did that year, and that they have a bunch of receivers that they could rely on, especially in Marshall and Decker. Last game, as much as you guys love Malcolm Butler, Eric Decker played him so well in the slot. He got separation on every play because it seemed like you guys are sort of double covering Marshall and letting Decker go one-on-one in the slot. And Decker gave Butler a ton of problems. And I don't see what you guys are really going to do this week to stop that. Because Belichick's philosophy is always take away the best player. And that's what he's going to try to do with Marshall. But if Decker can take advantage, I think we could win this game.
Well, you know, he's going to single up Decker with Butler, right? So that's what they've been doing the last half dozen games is, you know, Butler manned up on the number two, and the number one is getting double covered, you know, with safety help over the top. So that's been pretty solid. I mean, I suppose you could fall apart there with you know, legitimate third receiving option that would match up better against our nickel. But like for the most part, like over 60 snaps, I think we're going to be okay.
And I would say that Belichick doesn't make the same mistake twice. So he saw Decker own Butler in that game. I don't think we're going to see the same thing in this one. I highly doubt that Butler is going to be singled up on Decker the entire game, especially if early on that is the case and he starts getting owned again.
Right. A thing I would look at would be over the past couple of weeks, like the Jets have been looking for a third receiving option, and Bilal Powell, our running back, our second string running back, has emerged as that option out of the backfield, sort of like what the Patriots always do with either whoever they want to plug in there, because now it seems like James White is playing just as well as Deion Lewis was. So I would look out for that matchup as well, especially is Jamie Collins playing at 100% yet? I mean, I'm pretty sure Hightower's out of this game, but it seems like maybe your linebacker core could be a little depleted this week.
Yeah, I would be a little concerned about the linebacking core, as I don't know where Patrick disappeared to there. He's probably taking care of his
dog. I am right here.
But the linebacking core worries me, and the other injury that still worries me is Devin McCourty. I don't know if McCourty's going to be back for this game or not. But that would definitely be two places that I'd be worried about. Now, I'm not that concerned about Bilal Powell because he's only just shown this ability to be doing this. He hasn't really shown it in the past. And certainly not against the Patriots.
I think in terms of injuries with McCourty in particular, but really any dinged up Patriots player, now until January, I would expect them to just not play, right? Like we're getting to the point where the playoffs are a foregone conclusion and we're just hoping to hold on to our seating, at least to the extent that we get a bye, right? So,
We've clinched the bye. It's now about home field throughout.
Sorry, I meant home field throughout. So it's like there's a point of diminishing returns almost where you start playing guys that are dinged up and hurt that you're going to rely on. Like when it is a meaningful game, right? You don't want to lose them now, right? So, you know, look to see one of the plethora of second round draft picks playing free safety.
Well, is Edelman or Amendola, are those guys going to be suiting up this week, or are we going to be seeing Keyshawn Martin and Brandon LaFell garnering
That's a great question, because if you don't have Amendola out there, then like not only are you jeopardizing your receiving stats, but you're jeopardizing your quarterback, right? Because if you don't have a guy out there that can run a route crisply and get open quickly, then, you know, Brady's holding on to the football, and that's a good way to get your knees taken out. So I would argue that, you know, you're probably going to have to see, provided he's not just completely destroyed, you know, he left the game last week, but even if he's just dinged up, like, look to see Amendola play, because the absence of Amendola means you're putting Brady in jeopardy.
I would expect no Edelman. Yes, on Amendola, if everything that I've heard is correct and that the injury wasn't serious to his knee. But again, with Amendola, I would see him on like a pitch count. So he's not going to be out there 100% of the time. You're going to see a lot more Keyshawn and Leonard Hankerson, who only played like one snap last week. I bet you we're going to see a lot of him this week.
Well, that makes me really, really scared, Pod. But
I wouldn't be scared of it. No, in all honesty, if I'm a Jets fan, I'm doing somersaults and backflips that the Broncos ended up losing last week because it gave the Patriots that much more cushion to sort of rest up by getting that first round bye. Now, they still obviously want home field throughout, and that's going to be the key. So the question that we as Patriots fans have to be watching is, who do we want to win on Monday night? And I believe it's the Broncos, if I'm not mistaken, if my math isn't wrong.
Well, I'll tell you this much. The Jets are rooting for the Bengals on Monday night because that is probably the one game left on the schedule of the Chiefs, the Steelers, and the Broncos who we need one of those teams to lose once. That game Monday night, Broncos-Bengals, is probably our best chance of any of those teams losing. Of course, we got to take our business into our own hands. We got to beat the Patriots this week. And if I had to choose, I honestly think the Jets are going to win this game because, again, the Patriots don't really have much to play for. They're more concerned about getting healthy. This is the Jets' biggest game of the year. They played them well on the road in Foxborough last week. And I really think this Jets team or this Jets regime, as it was Todd Bowles and Mike Maccagnan, it doesn't seem like it's the same type of circus-minded regime that's going on in Buffalo right now or even Miami with Mike Tannenbaum. It really seems like they really are level-headed most of the time and that they're going to be prepared and they're not going to lay an egg in MetLife Stadium this week.
Yeah, I would say that Todd Bowles is disappointingly stable. You know, I kind of miss the monkey sideshow.
I mean, just look at Buffalo, and then you won't miss it too much.
Well, it's not the same, though. It's not the same.
All right, Patrick, go enjoy Christmas with your daughter at the mall. And we'll talk to you again down the road.
All right, gentlemen, I'll talk to you later.
All right, so as Patrick goes and enjoys Christmas in the mall, which is never an enjoyable experience, ladies and gentlemen, I highly recommend if you can find a Santa not in a mall, go see that Santa. Don't see Santa in the mall. He doesn't want to see your kid either. That's just a public service announcement from yours truly. Andrew, you're taking the Jets. Patrick feels pretty confident about the Patriots. I don't feel pretty confident about the Patriots, but I'm not going to pick against them at this point. Although I see all of the points that you've made, Andrew, and I've even backed them up to a degree where this game is a lot more important for the Patriots to come out healthy than necessarily come out with a victory. I still think the Patriots find that way to win. Greg, your thoughts on this game?
Basically, I'm going to be selfish here. I think this is going to be a fun game to watch. I'm going to enjoy watching it, but I'm going to pick the Patriots because I need the Patriots to beat the Jets for the Steelers to clinch a spot this weekend. So, purely playing the selfish card.
It seems to be working out, Greg. I mean, number one in picks, and picking, am I right?
Tied. Ooh.
Tied. No, so, being selfish and picking games based on jerseys, NFL for you.
That is how you get to the top. We have the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are at the Baltimore Ravens. The line is 10.5. My locks suck, but here you go. I'm giving it to you.
You like that? You like that?
Lock in the Steelers. I don't see any way they lose to the Ravens, and I see them blowing them out. Andrew, selfishly, I know you'd want to pick the Ravens.
Yeah, but I can't. Like, Pittsburgh is going to blow them out. Pittsburgh needs to win the game. Baltimore is down to their third string at, like, every single position. Pittsburgh's not going to let Baltimore beat them this week.
I hope you're right. This is the classic Steeler play down to their division rival, and they lose on the road. I'm going to go with the Steelers, but, I mean, Macaulay Culkin's looking like Jimmy Clausen will probably end up having a much better game than everyone thinks. So,
Number Fire loves Baltimore plus 10 at 59.1%, which makes me feel that much better about going with the Steelers and the number. Now to the 4 o'clock games. And this one, I think, has the makings of a good one that doesn't matter. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars at the New Orleans Saints. You know, word has it that Drew Brees has a torn plantar fascia. Knowing Drew Brees, he's probably going to do everything in his power to try to play in this game. My guess is he does not play in this game. And without Drew Brees, I just don't see a way that the Saints generate any sort of offense that they've been generating. And we know all about how horrible their defense is. I like the upstart Jacksonville Jaguars to pull off an upset. Here, this would be my upset special, as they are 3.5-point underdogs. Greg,
I think the over/under in this game has to be about 70, and that could be just Jacksonville scoring 50. But I am going to stay with the Saints at home just because they're at home. And that's how you get ahead in picks and pick them.
Well, I if Breeze plays this game, I'm going to take New Orleans. Jacksonville's let me down so many times this year. And it's really a shame because out of all those teams in that division, I think everybody would want to watch Jacksonville on that first Saturday of the NFL playoffs. Instead, we're going to be watching Brandon Weeden and the Houston Texans, most likely. So it's really disappointing. But I think Jacksonville is going to be running this division the next couple of years, especially if Ryan Grigson, whoever's running the Colts, can't put anything around Andrew Luck.
The over-under on this game is 52, which I think is high. I would take the under.
I mean, I actually think I think that's low if Breeze plays. Again, I think it's going to be a really high-scoring game
if Breeze plays this game.
Yeah, if Breeze plays this game.
Here's one of those interesting games, just in the fact that it's an interesting one. It's not going to change seating, but it is the Packers at the Cardinals. I dare say it would be up there for game of the week if the Monday night game didn't have so much riding on it. The Cardinals are favored by 4.5. For a game like this, that seems rather high, Andrew.
Yeah, to me, it's going to be very interesting to see how Arizona's defense adapts with the loss of Tyrann Mathieu. He's probably the most important player on that defense. I know people will point to Patrick Peterson or Calais Campbell, but the way they've used Mathieu this year, either in the slot or outside linebacker or at safety or outside corner, like, he has been a defensive player of the year candidate, and it's going to be interesting to see how long it's going to take Arizona to adapt without him there. And the guy you don't want to be facing in that situation is Aaron Rodgers. But the problem with that is that the Packers receivers have had trouble gaining separation this year, and we'll see. I mean, they forced Rodgers to make pinpoint passes every single time. But I actually like the way Green Bay has looked the past couple of weeks. I think they might be starting to hit the stride a bit. And I actually give me the Packers in an upset in this game. I think Arizona is going to be more focused on staying healthy. Maybe their players pull back a bit after watching what happened to Tyrann Mathieu in a 40-17 blowout last week.
Yeah, I'd like I like the Cardinals in this game, and I hope the Cardinals sit Carson Palmer this week, mainly because I'd like to see Carson Palmer actually play in the playoffs for more than a few snaps. And Sunday night or Monday night, whenever they played last, it was very scary when he came out of the game with that broken or dislocated finger, because it was a, oh no, we've seen this story again with the Cardinals. I do like the Cardinals, even if they play Drew Stanton, just because I think the Cardinals team has been playing great, and I think Bruce Arians is coach of the year again. And the Packers just have not had the same aura around them this year. So give me the Cardinals at home.
Number Fire loves Arizona -4.5, 59.4%. I do not. I will take Green Bay against the number. I'll take the Cardinals to win in a close one, coming down to the battle of field goal kickers. In a game that I don't think will come down to a battle of field goal kickers, it's the St. Louis Rams and the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks -13.5. While I hate those double digits point spreads and I hate those big numbers, and I know the Seahawks are red hot and on fire, it's going to have to come down to earth sooner or later. I just don't see it happening in this game. I don't think the Rams have what it takes to get it done. I like the Seahawks here, and I like them big. Andrew.
Yeah, so that would be my logic, too. I like the Seahawks big, too. But it seems to be every time that St. Louis plays a division opponent that they give them a close game. So, yeah, the number is 13.5. Would it shock me if Seattle just, like, blows them out of the water? No. But, like, I could also see St. Louis making it a close game, which is basically me talking out of both sides of my mouth. But like that's what happens when you're talking about the St. Louis Rams team. They beat Arizona on the road this year, right? And that just goes to show that with this team, really anything could happen. But the way Russell Wilson is playing, I think it's really hard to pick against him right now. So give me Seattle.
I agree with you, Andrew. I think Seattle is on a mission right now. They are playing at home, and you just got to take the – you got to just – think they're going to obliterate the Rams at home.
The Rams did beat the Seahawks in overtime at St. Louis earlier this year. Last year, literally last year, on 12-28, the Seahawks did cover 13.5 against the Rams, 20-6 in Seattle. Marshawn Lynch only ran for 60 yards and a touchdown. And Bruce Irvin had a big interception, a big pick six. I am going to take I still like the Seahawks. I still like them big. And that's that. The Sunday night game is the New York Giants at the Minnesota Vikings. The Giants will know by the time this game is played whether or not they still have something to play for. We all believe that they will not have something to play for. Or did we all believe that? I don't remember if we all believe the Redskins are winning on Saturday or not. I believe the Redskins are winning on Saturday. I believe the Giants won't have much to play for, and thus they'll call it a game, and I think we're going to call it the end of Tom Coughlin. I don't see Tom Coughlin living past this season. Give me the Vikings and Tom Coughlin's head at the end of the season.
Oh, yeah, that's just funny. You don't see Tom Coughlin living past this season. It's a very funny choice of words. When it comes to this game, I don't see any way the Giants move the ball without Odell Beckham. I mean, if Mike Zimmer is a very good coach, I think he knows what the Giants' game plan is going to be. It's just going to be dump off the ball to Shane Vereen and hope Vereen makes people miss after the catch. It's not going to work against his Vikings defense. Yeah, they were missing their three guys last week too, in Joseph, Smith, and Barr. But it seems like those guys might come back this week. Even if they don't, I don't see a way the Giants move the ball on offense. And if you look at their defense, their rush defense has been abysmal the past couple of weeks. And Minnesota, with Adrian Peterson and Jerick McKinnon, is going to be able to run all over them. And Teddy Bridgewater has probably had his two best games of the season the past 2 weeks. So it's just a tale of two teams going two different ways. So give me the Vikings on the Sunday night. Not even that close, about like 24-7.
Andrew, I agree with you 110%. I don't think there's much to add to what you said. The one thing I would like to add, though, is with the suspension for OBD, I would have liked to see him get two games, and I would have liked to see Josh Norman get a game, just because I think
yes,
the league missed an opportunity there for straightening out what was going on.
I agree. Andrew, what do you think? I think ODB definitely got what was coming to him, and I guess it's not ODB anymore. It's OBJ. Whatever. ADP, AP all day. You know, cut it out. It was ODB for the longest time. You know what? That's what I'm going to call him. Or better yet, you know what I'm going to call him? Suspended. That's his new name. Suspended. Andrew, what do you think? Josh Norman should have gotten a game here too?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have like argued against it, but I think the bigger issue was Beckham, because that play by Beckham just has no place in the league. I mean, you want to call him ODB, call him one dirty bastard, like because that play, like the spearing going head first. If Josh Norman broke his jaw or was on the field unconscious, like, we'd be talking about a year suspension for Beckham right now. So that's just the NFL playing the result in that Norman seemed to be okay after the hit, and they're only going to give him one game. But it could have been so, so much worse that this would be a national story. It'd be gone Good Morning America, that type of stuff, because it's crazy what happened, him trying to knock Norman out.
And let's not forget, Will Smith is going to be talking all about concussions in his new movie that comes out on Friday. I mean, one can only imagine the lovely press that movie got thanks to Suspended there. You know, thank you, Suspended. You just helped our movie get a few more tickets sold.
So they'll have five people. Three people go see that movie over Star Wars. So.
If you haven't already seen Star, who hasn't already seen Star Wars? Everyone saw Star Wars last weekend, didn't they?
They should have.
They should have. They definitely did. I did, and I did a whole hour and a half long podcast, which you can go listen to right now, blogtalkradio.com/theweekinpodcasting. I talked with superstar Eric Young from TNA Wrestling, Austin Lee from the Fantasy Movie League, which, by the way, you can also play for free. It's a great game, fantasymovieleague.com. And I also spoke with two movie critics, Neil Rosen from New York One on Time Warner Cable and Joanna Langfield of The Movie Minute. So it's a great conversation, everything about Star Wars. If you haven't seen it, you don't want to listen to that podcast because it is loaded with spoilers. Even if you have seen the movie and you don't want to know about perhaps certain things that will happen in the next movie, you won't want to listen to that podcast. It's loaded with spoilers, 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 spoilers. All right. That's Star Wars. We have one more game. Speaking of Star Wars, it is the battle between the second seed in the AFC, the Cincinnati Bengals, and the third seed Denver Broncos. And I talked to English Simon about what he thought about the Monday night game. All right. As I promised, we have a special guest appearance from our Australian over in England. He's better known as English Simon. He's not Australian, and he is our Cincinnati Bengals super fan. How are you, Simon?
Yeah, I'm doing very well. Thanks. Full of festive cheer and hopeful that AJ McCann can give me more gifts this Christmas. could you tell my voice? I didn't believe myself then. Yeah.
Well, you didn't believe in Andy Dalton. I can only imagine what you believe in AJ McCarron.
Less, yeah. To be fair, he was great last week in terms of what they asked him to do. So fingers crossed that big game experience comes through on Monday, really.
And that's sort of, let's get right into it. How do you think AJ McCarron will do versus the Denver Broncos? I mean, this is for that first week bye.
Yeah, it's a huge bye for us because gives the Dalton another week to get healthy. And obviously I think he gives us our best chance to win Super Bowl, really. From our perspective, though, offensively, a couple of things I'm looking out for. Obviously, AJ Green went out of the game with a back injury on Sunday, and also Tyler Eifert still in the concussion protocol. So our two most, you know, important offensive weapons have got concerned. And add on top of that, our offensive line that's played pretty poorly in the last couple of weeks and was quite abject against San Francisco. So I'm a little concerned that those things are still kind of question marks, but hopefully with a bit more preparation time, those guys can get healthy, that we can, you know, put our best foot forward, really.
You mentioned that Dalton gives you the best chance to win. I mean, are you... The question I have here for you, you're going to the playoffs. That part has been clinched. So for you, is it a failure if you lose the first playoff game without Andy Dalton?
Yeah, I think it is a failure. I think it's a failure of Marvin Lewis and the kind of the team they've built, really. I think we could probably win a game with AJ McCarron. I think it'd be very tough. I think the problem we've got is if we end up in the third seed, which we may do, we face one of those hot teams in either Kansas City, Pittsburgh, or the New York Jets did really, really well second half of the season. And that gives you concern with kind of the situation offensively. But ultimately, you know, we can, a great coach will be able to get the best out of those players. And it's a huge disappointment if we lost this year, given how well we've done this year.
Do you want a 100? Well, you clearly want a 100% Andy Dalton. Do you want a 75% Andy Dalton or a 100% AJ McCarron at quarterback?
That's a good question. The problem is, as I understand it, with his thumb injury, is that there's no actual issue with him throwing the ball with it. It's just the concern of him coming back and re-injuring it possibly, which then would obviously take him out for longer. So I think in that regard, 75% Dalton probably would be okay. I think would give us a chance to win. We still need to run the ball better because it's January and they'll still need to play better defense. And they're really the key to the game. We can have those things clicking and Andy Dalton can get the ball around, or even AJ McCarron can distribute the ball around. We've got a chance to win the game. It's just we have to win it in a specific way to go all the way. But if you look at the way in which Carolina have got to 14-0, it's very much the same kind of blueprints what we have. You know, play good defense, run the ball well, make some plays with your quarterback and kind of, you know, do it that way. And I think if we can do that, it doesn't matter which quarterback we have. I think that's the recipe for success, to be honest.
So answer that. So answer your own question. Let's start with this Monday night. The rest of the team win this game on Monday night.
I think because of who we're playing, yes, it'll have to be a 17-14 win. I can't see us scoring more than 20 points against this team with McCarron at quarterback. I can't see whether it's Osweiler or Manning putting up huge numbers on us. We just have to make sure we control their run game really well and stop that and make them one-dimensional. But I think we can stop their weapons on the outside. I think we can stop the tight ends. I'm really confident that we can keep them down to within 20. It's just whether or not AJ can make enough plays for us to win the game. But in the back of my mind, it's the thing about the prime time away games thing that we've had. The issues haven't just been Dalton. It's been a whole team of kind of, you know, folded as well. So my whole thing is if we can mentally get control of this game, and we've got a chance to win and get that first round bye, which I think is what we all want, which is the problem I think we've got is essentially Denver are fighting for the same thing, to kind of get healthy, to get to that first round bye. So it's going to be a hell of a game and one that we're definitely not going to be favourites in, but we've got a chance to win it.
Yeah, you're right now 3.5-point underdogs on the road in Mile High. I'm going to be talking about my pick in just a second with the other super fans. So now let's go back to that question you posed to yourself. Can the rest of the team win the first playoff game?
Yes.
This year?
I believe this is the year.
Okay. And so now the question is, can the rest of your team beat New England in Foxborough?
I believe that is the case as well. The only team that I think can give us a lot of problems, and we just played them recently, is Pittsburgh. But then equally, if you look at that game in its entirety, we did a great job of stopping touchdowns when we didn't give the ball away. So, I think we can go all the way. I think we could beat Carolina. I honestly believe that on our best day, we can beat anybody. But it's whether that those moments that the game's come down to, two or three moments per game, is can we win those moments? And this year, I felt like we've done enough of that to prove that we can. And, I think this is as good a chance as we'll have to progress to that first win, but also potentially all the way to win the AFC Championship and then get to the Super Bowl.
As a Patriots fan, I'm much more worried about your team with a fresh Andy Dalton than I am with AJ McCarron in Foxborough, mind you.
Yeah.
I think it's a completely different ball game when you're talking about if it's in Cincinnati or not, which is still a possibility. Patriots have not clinched home field throughout yet, although I have a feeling that's going to change this week.
I agree. So I think to your point, it's down to two teams for that two seed, and then that two seed becomes huge because you get the week off, we get refreshed, get healthy. Who knows? But this weekend's a huge game, and if we to win the Super Bowl, we have to win this weekend, in my opinion.
English Simon, I must say, I've spoken to some Australians recently, and my wife overheard those conversations, and she's kicked you to the curb, my friend, and she's big on Australians.
Oh, fantastic! Well, hopefully she'll stop calling me English Simon again, as per the nickname. But it was a very funny moment at the time, and it's had a lease of life that probably no one expected. So it's been all good fun. So I've enjoyed that for sure.
Simon, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you again when the playoffs begin.
See you, Pod. See everybody. Bye. Cheers.
All right, so there's English Simon saying that he is confident in his team with AJ McCarron. Obviously, he's more confident with Andy Dalton, but since we know he hates Andy Dalton, I don't know exactly how confident he really is. That English Simon, he is a riddle wrapped in an enigma, wrapped in a joke that didn't work. So the Bengals are at the Broncos, and I'm going with the Greg theory here. The Broncos are the home team. Give me the home team. Greg, did I steal your
thing? I agree. You got two backup quarterbacks, and the best thing about Cincinnati's
Peyton
backup quarterback is
Peyton May.
Well,
play.
That's true. Well, is he a backup now? I can't even keep it straight anymore. So.
I set you up for that
one. So I'm just going to go with the Broncos because, but I do hope they have a lot of shots of AJ McCarron's wife on TV. So,
Andrew,
I tell you, this Catherine Webb, I like this. I like this chick. You know, I like Catherine Webb. when this game is really going to come down to which defense takes advantage of the young backup quarterback playing for their respective teams. And I actually like the way McCarron has looked. I actually like him better than Osweiler. But Denver's defense is the best defense in football when they're healthy. And it seems to be that they're getting more healthy. Maybe their safeties come back this week. As much as I would love the Bengals to win this game, as a Jets fan, I have to take Denver because I just think that defense is that good. A.J. Green isn't 100% healthy for this game either, and that's going to be an issue too for Cincinnati.
Well, and I should mention that for selfish reasons, I'm also taking the Broncos because that would lock up home field for the Patriots. And as we've discovered, that's the way you get ahead in Pigskin Pick'em. Real quickly, because we've gone, as always, we've gone really long. The Pro Bowl was announced. There were some snubs. There were some surprises. I'm not going to mention a snub. I will mention one surprise. Malcolm Butler, while I think he is deserving, I think it's a little too soon. The good thing for him is he won't have to worry about playing in this game anyway. Who are some of your snubs, Andrew?
I look at a guy like Delanie Walker or Allen Robinson. Those two guys have been put up ridiculous numbers in their respective offenses this year. Maybe a guy like Richie Incognito, who's been one of the best guards in football according to Pro Football Focus's ratings. And also Cameron Jordan for the defensive end from New Orleans has had a great year on a really, really crappy defense. So those are guys I would look at. Of course, when you're talking about Pro Bowl, those guys are probably going to get in anyway because about like a third of the guys announced yesterday probably won't play in that game. If we need to start a conversation, I guess that those are some of the guys that I would look at.
Well, and you're also looking at Arizona having seven. If they're in the Super Bowl, those seven will be available. Carolina has 10. If they're in the Super Bowl, that's a huge amount of people that will have to be filled in. And the Patriots, I believe, had 7. So again, you're looking at a huge number of guys that will have to be filled in if any of those teams are in the Super Bowl. I think it's interesting. Pittsburgh, everybody's darling and the hottest team in football right now, only with 3 Pro Bowlers. I don't know how much that says necessarily about the team that everybody loves, but only 3 Pro Bowlers. I'm not that worried about Pittsburgh anymore. I've never really been that worried about Pittsburgh, though.
Well, you should be, Pod, because they omitted the captain of the defense from the Pro Bowl. Cam Haywood has, for my money, been the best 3-4 D end, not named J.J. Watt this year. I mean, the difference he's made to the Steeler defense when he's on the field versus when he's off the field has been tremendous. I am actually shocked that he didn't make the Pro Bowl. I understand why, because they put in these guys that should just be listed as like pass rushers versus defensive end because of the different styles of defense. But he definitely was worthy this year to make it. But none of the Steelers have to worry about the Pro Bowl. So
so many of us using the same line. It's fantastic. All right. Andrew, thanks for joining us once again. Greg, thank you for joining us this week. We'll have one more week of the regular season, and then we move on into the playoff version of Next Fan Up. I am hoping, I've got my fingers crossed, ladies and gentlemen, that we can get super fan battles for all of the playoff matchups. And I'm also got my fingers crossed that a certain person out there might be available to join us every week through the playoffs. That person knows who he is. We are currently discussing if we can make that happen or not. I have a feeling there might be a few issues that will prevent that from occurring. But I'm working on it, people. I'm working on it. And I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I know you know exactly what I'm talking about because you're listening, you. So let's play nice. Anyway, for Greg, for Andrew, for English Simon, for Patrick, and for all Santa Clauses everywhere, I will let Jeff Fisher take us out. And that is our show. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.